You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Here come the Razorbacks, first down at the 11. They bring a man in motion. They give it to Singleton on the option right side. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Chuck Barrett's call Saturday night as Arkansas beats Tennessee 19-14 over at Razorback Stadium. You think you know what's going to happen in college football, but you never know. And that's what makes it so much fun. You know, you go into a game like that on Saturday, and you think Tennessee's going to win. I don't know that anybody thought Arkansas would win this game. I mean, you know, sometimes you'll hear people, you know, predict an upset. Nobody was picking an upset. And that's what makes nights like Saturday so much fun. We're going to talk about all of it today. We're going to start with Brandon Marcello from 24/7 Sports. He was there too. Brandon, first of all, thanks for being here. When you see what happened Saturday, whether it be Arkansas beating Tennessee, Vanderbilt beating Alabama, Minnesota beating Southern Cal, you can just go on down the list. I think there were five top 11 teams who lost on Saturday. It just feels like something is in the air. And as I was coming in Saturday morning or Saturday evening to the game, my thought was, hey, if Vanderbilt can beat Alabama, I feel like every underdog has got to like their chances the rest of the day.
We almost had every single team in the top 11 that was playing lose this past weekend. I think it goes to show you, we've been seeing us get closer and closer to this in college football the last two seasons, and especially this year, that there's more talent in the big conferences, the SEC, the Big Ten, now more than ever, but it's spread out now more than ever. And Vanderbilt looks very much different than it did a year ago because of Diego Pavier and the receivers they brought in and the coaches they brought in. And Arkansas obviously looks a lot different offensively because of Taylen Green and the hiring of Bobby Petrino. And then the defense being able to build up on the year two under Travis Williams. And this wasn't a weekend where it was everything like just perfectly coming in line. This was building the last few weeks. I think everybody saw that with the way Vanderbilt was performing at Mizzou earlier this year when they should have beaten them. They beat Virginia Tech earlier this season at home. They lost to Georgia State on an incredible final play by Georgia State, throwing a perfect pass and against perfect coverage too by Vanderbilt to lose that game. So, and then you got the Hogs playing against a Tennessee team that, while was number one in scoring offense, had shown some shakiness playing on the road previously at Oklahoma offensively. And then they come into Razorback Stadium and the Razorbacks start hot, and it keeps the crowd in the game, unlike the OU game just a couple of weeks ago. And that was enough to push the Hogs to that last kind of gulp for air there in the fourth quarter with that offense.
Why do you think Arkansas won?
Well, they just played harder and better than Tennessee, for one. This wasn't necessarily a fluke game for the Razorbacks. I mean, I was talking to friends here. I'm not one of those 20-20 guy hindsight and you're looking back and everything, but like, it's not a very far parallel universe where Arkansas is actually undefeated right now. I mean, think about that. And that's because of just how well that offense has been schemed up. And one, how great the defense plays week to week. The thing that's been holding Arkansas back are mistakes of their own, whether it's just weird, untimely penalties in big situations, as we saw previously against Texas A&M and against Oklahoma State, but mostly just the big turnovers and big moments, especially in that Oklahoma State game. I mean, they should only have like one loss right now, if not be undefeated, if not for those mistakes. The Hogs were 109th, I believe, in the nation in turnovers, lost this season at 9. And then you go against Tennessee, you continue to outgain your opponent and just outperform them offensively. But the key here was you didn't turn the ball over. I think the Hogs still win that game if they just turn the ball over once. But you can't turn the ball over two, three, or four times in a game and win it. It's just not going to work in this day and age in college football, where, again, the talent is better than ever in the SEC, but it's more spread out. The playing field is much more even and level.
I know you're real big on Travis Williams, and you look over the last 3 weeks especially. Auburn scores two touchdowns. A&M scores three, but they were basically gift-wrapped one because Arkansas fumbles at the 10-yard line, and then they hold Tennessee to two touchdowns the other day. There's going to be a lot of talk over the back half of the season about whether or not Arkansas can keep Travis Williams from jumping ship. Maybe that be to a bigger coordinator position at a more elite football program, or maybe he gets a head coaching job somewhere. What do you think, as you cover nationally, the opinion of him is outside the state of Arkansas?
It's big and it's huge. And if his defense continues to play the way it is and he continues to scheme things the way he has, especially this past week against Tennessee, he's going to be up there potentially for some head coaching gigs, depending on what head coaching gigs come open. And not necessarily big Power 5 jobs, but maybe some middle tier Power 5 jobs, and certainly some Group of 5 jobs. But there's really no telling to see kind of what jobs might open this year. It's going to be a weird year in the coaching carousel. And then also, like, is there a big time program that's going to have a DC change? I mean, could Alabama, for example? They're struggling right now, even in year one under Kalen DeBoer, defensively. And this isn't something new that just came up this past week against Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. Maybe Auburn even comes calling to him, even though Auburn's doing pretty well defensively themselves. But, you know, it's a great problem to have if you're Arkansas because, man, these last two defensive coordinators they've had, all under Sam Pittman, have been stellar. Barry Odom, fantastic. And I was saying for the last few years that the day Arkansas loses Barry Odom and or Kendall Briles, they're going to go, oh, boy, we had it so much better than we believed. And, they struggled a little bit last year because of the offense, but T. Will was a great hire and kept that thing rolling. And I can't say enough great things about T. Will just as a person, number one, knowing him for more than a decade, but also just how smart he is and how he's able to be a player's coach and knows exactly how to motivate them and also get them to digest information. I talked to him after the game. He called me up. He was ecstatic after the game. And I was like, listen, I understand you put in some new stuff this week. And he said, yeah. Sunday night, he went up to Sam Pittman, said, hey, I got an idea. I've been watching this tape against OU that Tennessee had. And OU was doing some things that really frustrated Nico Iamaliava at quarterback. And that was simply just utilizing more 3-2-6 sets. And so he went to the defense on Monday and said, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to install a new alignment, a new set of plays. We've got 4 days to teach it to you and 4 days for you to learn it. And we're only going to install 4 plays in this 3-2-6 alignment, but we're going to be great at it, and we're going to mix it up along with our 4 down alignment set and our other things that we do. And they loved it. And what helped in digesting that is, one, Travis Williams and his assistants being able to install it and get them to buy into it. But also, several of those players still on this roster played in a 3 down lineman set and similar sets under Barry Odom. So it wasn't a completely foreign to everybody on that roster. And Travis told me, he goes, we probably ran those 4 plays 60% of the time we were on the field against Tennessee. And Nico could not figure it out. Nico could not hit any deep balls other than like one. And they dared Tennessee to run the ball. Travis said, we wanted to force them to go into 12 personnel. We wanted them to try and run the ball against us. And when Tennessee did that, the Razorbacks knew they were in a very good position to win that game.
Sam Pittman talked afterward, and I said, I wrote about this weekend, that the crowd was just phenomenal.
Yes.
It was Arkansas didn't have the biggest stadium. It's about, 75% of what they have over at Neyland. But when it gets going, there's something about the construction of that stadium. I don't know if it's because it's built into the hillside. I don't know exactly what goes on there. But, we've heard Greg McElroy talk about it in the past. We've heard Jalen Hurts say that it was the loudest environment that he ever played in college. When they get going, it's got the ability to be an elite stadium. And when you look at the teams they've got coming up, they've got LSU coming in. Nobody's going to have any trouble getting up for that game. You've got Ole Miss coming in, same thing. And, if you thought people were fired up for that last team in Orange, wait till Texas comes, right? So I think after they beat Tennessee the other day, they got a chance maybe to win another game at home this year, maybe two more, if they have that type of atmosphere that they had Saturday night.
Most definitely. And looking ahead here, I love the matchup against LSU for Arkansas's defense against what they do offensively. And LSU's defense is struggling a little bit, as we've seen. Though, I will say this, not to get too far ahead of myself here, but the way they played South Alabama defensively was very impressive to me, and also USC earlier this year. So they have the capabilities. But, yes, the stadium at Razorback Stadium has always had that potential because we've seen it happen before. I mean, there's been several games in my lifetime that I've been able to go there where I just really stick out. The Tennessee game back in, obviously, was that 2005?
Six stands game out to me. Yeah.
Alabama back in 2010. Was it 10 or 11? I can't remember.
2010.
Just incredible atmospheres that, I mean, the Razorback fan base is as passionate as anything, but it, unlike some programs, and there's some that are out there like this, but like it's like personal for the fans when they're in there and they're seeing something go right for them and they see an opportunity to play themselves through the players by giving them that energy. And I also think that as silly and as romantic as this sounds, there's just something about the Hawk call during timeouts and in big moments that kind of just subconsciously gets into the head of the opposing teams because they don't hear sounds like that, right? It's like having a dream and hearing a weird wildcat scream. You ever done that before? You ever been out in the hills and you hear a cougar or a mountain lion screech? And it sounds like nothing you've ever heard in your life. That's kind of the way the Hawk call is, I think, sometimes. And that popped up in my head, right, when Arkansas had a timeout, I think, right before their final touchdown. And Tennessee was like, okay, we're going to let them score here if they get inside the five. And that Hawk call came up, and I was just like, Hogs are going to win this game. Tennessee's not going to be able to do anything. And even for a moment there when I saw Tennessee allow them to score, I just went, there's no way Tennessee's going to be able to score a touchdown with this crowd and the way the defense have been playing all night.
Did you think that was the right decision, letting Arkansas score there?
No, because Tennessee had to know, right, that, one, that their offense was struggling. Two, Arkansas's kicker was a little injured, right?
Yep.
So it's not necessarily a given or a gimme that they'll kick the field goal and make it, right? So why not play for them to play that for that field goal and potentially just win the game on a blocked field goal or a miss or some type of bad snap? You're putting the pressure on Arkansas to convert there rather than putting the pressure on a redshirt freshman quarterback to go down the length of the field in under 76 seconds. In hindsight, I would have let them kick the field goal. And even in that moment, after they let them score, I thought they should have let him kick the field goal because we all knew that Arkansas's kicker was injured and also had already missed a field goal early in the game. I know it's going to be pretty much just like an extra point kick, but still, you just don't know.
Two more for you, Brandon, real quick. Arkansas is going to have to pay Tennessee $250,000 for rushing the field. Vanderbilt, they're paying Alabama $100,000 because it was their first offense. This is Arkansas's second offense under the current structure. They also got fined for rushing the court against Duke last year in basketball, ironically enough, on the day that Bobby Petrino got hired as the offensive coordinator. But your thoughts on it, because I know that, you know, I hear people say, well, this is just goofy that schools get fined for it. I hear people say that what are the schools supposed to do when you've got 10,000 people that are, you know, trying to make a rush at the field? You can't stop that. It's sheer numbers. But then I also know the history of college football. You know, events like what happened at Camp Randall Stadium in the early 90s, there have been instances where when this goes wrong, it can go very wrong. Your thoughts on it and how ADs and commissioners approach all of this?
Yeah, the big talking point in this the last couple of spring meetings has been that the onus was on the schools to provide a safe exit plan for road teams and also, of course, the home team, but especially the road teams. You've got to have some system in place. And in basketball, I would say this past year, they did a very good job of that, of like pretty much creating a human corridor with security guards for the away team to leave. It's very difficult to do that in football, especially in a place like at Arkansas, where Tennessee's tunnel is right in front of the student section. So programs, including Arkansas, need to do a better job of making sure the away team gets off the field, because the rule is, listen, fans are just not supposed to be on the field at all, even immediately after the game. But you can't stop it when thousands of people are coming there. But you open yourself up that, listen, players are amped up. They're pissed off that they just lost the way they did. People are catcalling them and saying things to them. And the fans aren't supposed to be on there on the field. And so certain things can happen where players push a fan or whatever like that. And to be quite honest, there's not much that they can, you know, do as far as punishment for a player or anything like that. I know there's videos going on out there because fans just simply aren't supposed to be there. And you kind of take on that risk when you're on the playing field yourself that you might get pushed yourself because the players have to get to safety. And when you put emotion into that, things can happen. So the best thing that you can do for a school or as a fan base is just stay away from the players when you go out there to celebrate, unless it's your own guys and you're celebrating with them, because you just don't know whatever's going to happen. Everybody's got to stay safe.
12-team playoff, you can lose a game, doesn't automatically knock you out anymore, but Tennessee's got a tougher road now because I think, you know, any road to the playoff for them included a win over Arkansas. That was a total shocker for them to lose it. Now they've got to either beat Alabama at home, which I think is very possible with the way Alabama's playing, or they've got to win a game at Georgia, maybe both. And then obviously they can't have any more slip-ups. Your thoughts on how this affects Tennessee's playoff path?
Yeah, you know, they can lose again even and probably still make the playoff if they were to reach the SEC championship game and win it. But they can't afford to lose that game and then lose in the SEC championship game. Alabama's actually probably in a better position with better opportunity now because, one, they've already owned a win against Georgia. Mm-hmm. And then also, if they were to go on the road and beat Tennessee here in a couple of weeks, that puts them in a spot not only to make the SEC championship game, but to potentially still make the playoff with a loss in the SEC championship game. So that game's huge. A lot's on the line there. It's not necessarily a playoff elimination game, but it's about as close as we're going to get for the third Saturday in October. I can't wait to see it, but that's a great matchup for Tennessee's offense against Alabama's defense because their secondary has been a question all season, and it will continue to be so when Nico's playing at home finally in an SEC game. Because remember, this will be their first home game in the SEC. They've been on the road their first two games.
Wouldn't that be the most Alabama thing ever? They've won, I think, two national championships in years where they didn't even win their division. You saw it, covering Auburn firsthand. Wouldn't that be something if they lose to Vanderbilt and they still make the playoff? That would be about the most Alabama thing ever to happen.
We very well could see it, and we might also see a Notre Dame team that lost to Northern Illinois in the playoff. We might have two teams in the playoff where just like, wow, they lost to teams that are notoriously in the basement. But that's, to me, that's what's so great now about college football. One, the talent spread out a little bit more, so you've seen results like this, but also one loss does not allow a team to pack it in anymore. It doesn't allow a fan base to pack it in anymore. There's still hope. Heck, Arkansas has an opportunity to play for an SEC championship still.
Yeah.
With the schedule that's remaining, the opportunities, arguably your three toughest games remaining, you've got three of them at home, right? Mm-hmm. Ole Miss, LSU, and Texas. So there's a pathway here for so many teams. And meanwhile, you got Texas A&M standing atop the standings right now at 3-0, and they've got a path. This has never happened in college football history, and I can't wait till it's going to start setting in, Matt, here in 2 or 3 weeks for a lot of programs that, oh, we legitimately have a shot at making a playoff run here. Yep. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to keep people engaged a lot more this year. That's for sure. Brandon, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, have a good day. Brandon Marcello from 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports. When we come back, Ethan Westerman will join me here on desk. We'll continue to talk about Arkansas-Tennessee. A little bit later, we'll have our thoughts on what happened across the SEC this weekend. First, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kindle King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
And so that was the scene Saturday night over at Razorback Stadium. That from a Twitter account, Christian Jen, who happened just to be in the stadium from what I'm able to gather, not a fan of either team, just came to experience Fayetteville for the first time. And what an experience it was for those who had never been to a game at Razorback Stadium. Arkansas obviously winning that game 19-14. We want to tell you about our friends over at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. They are located in Uptown Rogers, and the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Ethan, what time did you get to bed Saturday night?
Did I get to bed, or was it couch? It was something. It was definitely after 5 a.m., though.
It was 4:45 for me.
Yeah, I was. I found myself after even, you know, getting everything done that we needed to get done, from the game, just not being able to shut my brain off after that one. It was just one of those that you're kind of replaying a lot of things in your head for hours afterward.
Covering a football game for us is it's basically an all-day affair. I mean, once the game ends, there's still several hours of work that needs to be done, getting stories on the site, editing stories, you know, getting pictures together, getting email blasting out. I won't bore you with all the details, but there was a point on Saturday night where it dawned on me. It's like, oh boy, we're in for a long night here.
Mine was walking out of, I always go to the visiting coach's, you know, his press conference. Yep. And I walked out of there and I looked at the time and I was like, oh wow, it's like 11:30 or something. Yep. And I was like, yeah, this is about to be a doozy. But it's funny, speaking on the visiting locker room, since we led off with that video of Rocky Top, imagine the awkwardness in there, because it's right next to the field. Josh Heupel's getting ready to sit down and do his press conference, and you just hear that playing in the stadium, and it's just, you're like, oh boy, it's everybody in the room just was, you know, like they're really doing that right now.
I looked for a Josh Heupel soundbite to play today, and there just wasn't anything very good. And we talked about this last week. You know, he had a 10-minute press conference previewing Arkansas. His answers are very short, succinct. He is a coach that does not really tell you a whole lot. And that was certainly the case after he was, you know, when he was not happy about the way his team played on Saturday night. Yeah, we're like raccoons that work through the night trying to get the website ready for people when they wake up on Sunday mornings to read all of our content over at WholeHogSports.com. I was talking with Brandon earlier. These are the types of games that I think set and look, the NFL is fun. I love the NFL. I probably like the NFL more than I like college football. But in the NFL, you kind of expect any team can win, right? I mean, like, even if you've got the Browns playing the name a team, 49ers. They beat the 49ers last year. Point being, you get the Panthers and the Chiefs. You still think that these guys are professionals. They've got a chance to win this game. There's not a zero – not that there's ever a 0% chance for anything, but there's a greater – you're not surprised when a professional team beats another professional team. In college football, it's not always that way. I don't think anybody gave Arkansas a chance to win this game. We certainly didn't think they were going to win. I said on Friday that I thought of all of Arkansas's home games left on the schedule, this was the least winnable. And now they've won it, and lo and behold, I'm sitting here thinking, could they win two more at home this year? That's what makes college football so much fun, though, is that I think we all went to the game Saturday expecting one thing, and what we got was totally different than what was expected.
For sure, and that's just kind of the beauty of it, I think. And Saturday, I mean, you look across the nation, and it happened. It's funny, because I thought SEC Network actually, I watched their show on Friday night, you know, whenever they go on the campus ahead of the SEC Nation that they do, and they were just calling it the like potential slip-up week. They said this week just seems slippery for a lot of teams. Like this could be the week where you look back and a lot of teams just had that slip up, and that's lo and behold what it was. You know, Tennessee slipped up. Alabama, obviously, I don't know if you call that a slip up, whatever that was. I also don't know if you call what happened to Mizzou a slip up, because they just got pummeled. But
well, we didn't think Missouri was very – not that Missouri's not a good team. I think that they're an okay team, but they're not a top 10 team. They're not a playoff team. Yeah. That's not going to be the last time that happens
to
them.
The point being, though, that you had three teams that were ranked in the top 10 in the SEC lose on Saturday. And so anything can happen on any given Saturday. And I'm on the opposite end. I like college football way more than the NFL. But I will say I got to listen to Kirk Herbstreit twice this week, and my Falcons won an exhilarating game against the Buccaneers on Thursday night. So I've been into the NFL a little bit more this year because my team's a little bit better than normal.
That may not be the last time we get Fowler and Herbstreit in Fayetteville. I'm just saying, like, if Arkansas, if they can maybe beat LSU in 2 weeks, they're going to be a top 25 team. And then all of a sudden you look at November, if they can take care of their business against Starkville, there's two big games that are coming up potentially in November against Ole Miss and Texas. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but I certainly like Arkansas's path to having a pretty solid October. This is what Sam Pittman had to say after the game on Saturday night.
Our kids, our coaches did a wonderful job of preparing our guys and making them believe that we can go win tonight. These guys are happy. They're not surprised. If we have the same amount of turnovers, we can play with anybody.
And so that's Sam Pittman talking about the Razorback team. He said they're happy, they're not surprised. Yeah. And to me, you know, my expectation for Arkansas football has always been to have a team that's capable of doing what they did Saturday night. Doesn't mean that they're going to do it. But, you know, I think about when Arkansas football has been its best in the SEC, whether that be during Houston Nutt's years or during Bobby Petrino's years, when they actually did take a next step and had a couple of years where they were thought to be one of the elite programs in the league. But at its best, Arkansas has always been a team that you didn't want to play them. It was always kind of like maybe what you see – gosh, I don't know what a good comparison to them would be. Maybe like an Iowa in the Big Ten. You know, like Iowa – you're always scared that they might get you. They're not an elite team, but they're good enough that they can beat an Ohio State on the right night. They can beat a Michigan. They can beat a Penn State. And that's where I think Arkansas, that's where they have been when they were at their best in the SEC. And far too often over the last, I don't know, gosh, you probably go back to the last year of Brett Bielema, you know, more often than not, there was a good year there under Pittman, but it's been that you just didn't really feel like Arkansas had a great chance when they were playing the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Tennessees in this case. And now that they won that game the other day, it certainly feels like it changes the perception, at least of this year's team, that regardless of whether it's Texas coming in or Ole Miss coming in or even going to a Missouri, they've got a chance to be competitive in those games. Doesn't mean they're going to win, but they can be competitive enough to make it a game in the fourth quarter.
I listened to that clip from Sam Pittman, and I don't think it's coach speak about like they believe they can win, because if you look at how they've performed against teams that they're really big underdogs against the past few years, he has them like competitive. Well, think about at Alabama last year, at Ole Miss, at LSU. I even go all the way back to his very first game as a coach here. I know this final score ended up being pretty lopsided, but they came out ready to play. Was Georgia number one at that point? If not, they were top.
You're talking about the game down in Athens?
No. His very first year. First game at Fayetteville. They were high.
They were top 10. They weren't number one.
I get jumbled up with Georgia's been number
one. I know they were number two for the game down in Athens, too.
Georgia's been number one so many times that you forget when they weren't. But they were high. And, I mean, he had Arkansas right after, you know, what we saw under the Chad Morris era. He had them ready to play that game. I think that since he's been here, they've been ready to play these big teams, top teams, but just so many times you look back and you say, oh my goodness, they had a chance and they just couldn't do it. Saturday, that's what was so big about Saturday. They finally just did it. They capitalized. And the crazy thing too about Saturday was I think some of these scares that they've given top teams under Pittman, you look at the end and you kind of think, oh my goodness, Arkansas found a way to even be in that game. Like, how'd they do that? They weren't the better team.
It always felt like maybe the other team had played down to
them. Yes, but Saturday you looked at it and Arkansas was better than Tennessee.
They were the better team. It shouldn't have been as close as it was in the second half.
That's what was notable to me, is that Saturday would not only beat a top team, you looked like the better team.
And I know yards don't tell the entire story, but, I mean, you kind of compile everything from Saturday first half, yards, time of possession, just what your eyes told you. I mean, didn't it feel like Arkansas should have been up something like, I don't know, 13-17-0 at halftime?
I mean, there was
3-0.
Taylen Green scrambled and had a great throw to Isaiah Satania in the end zone that he dropped. That's a touchdown. Usually Taylen Green missed Isaac Tesla wide open. He would have walked into the end zone. And that came right before they missed a field goal. There were so many missed opportunities in that first half to really just put the foot on the throat of Tennessee. I mean, because they dominated that first half, like, it in every single aspect but the scoreboard, which is the very most important one, which is, it had to be frustrating for those watching at home.
and that's the tough thing about this year's team, is that they just have not been efficient offensively. And I felt like it was going to come back to bite them on Saturday night, especially when Tennessee came out of the locker room the way they did in the third quarter and they took that lead. Arkansas, though, in three SEC games right now, they scored 24 points in 12 possessions against Auburn. They scored 17 points in 13 possessions against Texas A&M. And they scored 19 points in 10 possessions against Tennessee. That's actually their most efficient game offensively, and it's not a real efficient offensive game. According to what I've got right here, they've only scored 24.5% of all of the offensive points that have been possible to them. You compare that against some of the other teams in the SEC. LSU, albeit against, you know, in one SEC game, they're at about 40%. A&M after three games is at 42%. Florida, they're actually really good. They're at 46% after playing A&M and Mississippi State. Alabama's real good. They're up close to 50%. I think it underscores the fact that Arkansas is just not doing a whole lot with their offensive opportunities. And even against Oklahoma State, they scored 31 points in 15 possessions. You've got to be a lot more efficient than that.
I think it'll get better as the season goes. I would just guess it gets better about kind of converting some of those, because right now it seems like it can't go much more, less opportunistic than they are right now. Like, I mean, they have had so many chances to just really set the tone and unable to get in the end zone. I will say, the three defenses that they've played in the SEC so far, I think, are some of the top ones. I know Auburn's not a good football team. They have a good defense, though. Texas A&M clearly has a good defense. Tennessee has a good defense. So I think that contributes to some of this low scoring output early. I actually think Arkansas has gotten through some of the tougher defenses that it'll face all year. I know they've still got some really stingy ones on the horizon down the road. I know you think of Texas has a good defense. Mm-hmm. Ole Miss has a good defense. It's just, we'll see how Arkansas, if they can make those improvements to really just convert when they have the opportunity. That's the thing. If you go it, I feel like so many times this year, the 40-yard line to like the 20-yard line in opponent territory is where Arkansas's offense goes to die. It gets all the way down there to where you're sniffing a long drive touchdown, and then it just dies in fringe field goal range, and then they go for it on fourth down because you're in fringe field goal range. You gotta keep it rolling sometimes and keep moving the ball down there and get in the end zone.
You know what's going to happen, don't you?
No.
After that game, Slobberhog's coming back. If there was any doubt, because I think it's 5 o'clock today is the deadline to get the $500,000, and I've said before that it's coming back regardless, I think.
I'm about to say, here's the thing. Are they really going to tease it and be like, nope,
no, they're not
front-facing hog
no,
it is.
They're not going to dangle that carrot and rip it back at the end. But the point being that I would be very interested to find out, whether it be foundation donations, Arkansas Edge donations. These are the types of games that really cause those to spike.
Yeah. It does stink for them that, you're raising $500,000, then you got to write a $250,000 check. I know two different, budgets that's coming out of, but it is funny. Side note, since we're talking about, since I mentioned the fine, that is such a benefit for being a good team. Imagine that. The fact that just because
you don't want that.
You don't want that, but Arkansas is not going to get...
It's like, oh, man, there's that $250,000 that's coming in because we lost at Arkansas.
Yeah, but is Arkansas ever going to get paid the $250,000? You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, at least...
They might in basketball with Calipari being their coach.
Yeah, true. True. That.
And you know what you never see? You never see a field rush in baseball.
And I was talking with you about this at the wee hours of Sunday morning while we were up. I said, what would happen if a non-revenue sport, like, you know, a soccer or a softball, if you, like, fans rush the playing surface and you're all of a sudden a non-revenue sport, you're having to cut a check from it. I mean, yeah. But anyway,
yeah, you never see.
I'm chasing some rabbit right now that I don't know where it came from.
We'll pull it back in here real quick. I told somebody the other night, I said, you think this atmosphere is good? Wait till Tony Vitello brings his team into bomb for the regular season finale last year, especially if both of those teams are in championship contention. That could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Or I think whenever Texas football comes here,
it's
going to be buzzing.
Arkansas's got to take care of – we're high on the hog today. They've got to take care of business when LSU comes, because
mm-hmm.
that's a game Arkansas ought to be able to win. Doesn't mean they will, but they ought to be able to beat LSU, I think, based on what I've seen from LSU. If you can play Tennessee like that, you ought to be able to play most of the teams on the rest of the schedule like that. You ought to beat Mississippi State. We'll see. Point being that those November games, all of a sudden, those become a lot bigger games now than we thought they were 4 or 5 days ago.
Arkansas has a chance to win every single time it takes the field is what Saturday said.
So you're calling them in the playoff?
No. I said has a chance to win. I did not say they're going to win. But I think Saturday proved that this is a good enough team with that defense that they can go into any game. And you can't go into any game like you did in the Chad Morris years and know that they're going to get blasted. You just knew Arkansas played LSU with Joe Burrow under that Chad Morris team. Chad Morris wasn't even the coach then anymore, was he?
No,
but like you just knew, you're like, this team is about to get wrecked. You don't feel that with any of Sam Pittman's teams. I don't think you don't go into games thinking they're going to not have a chance. I mean,
you're certainly not going through the rest of this year.
Yeah. Last year, like the way that they competed against Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, I felt like they could hang with anybody.
I felt that way until the Missouri game. I didn't feel good about the Missouri game. I thought Missouri would steamroll them, and that's what happened because of what I'd seen against Auburn.
Yeah.
A lot more to talk about from Arkansas, Tennessee, but first a word from our sponsor.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
I think it was the sixth largest crowd in the history of University of Arkansas, and our fans got us 4 false starts, and it helped us tremendously. And our atmosphere and our coming in today was like any of the elite university football programs. Nobody had nothing on us today, and that was the fans and the facilities and everything like that. This was a big, big, big time atmosphere for college football, and the fans made it happen for us, and we appreciate them.
Sam Pittman talking about the atmosphere, 75,573 in attendance on Saturday night. It was the 6th largest attendance in the history of Razorback Stadium. And some thoughts on that is that, first off, when we came in and we sat down and you look across over into the east end zone, there was orange everywhere. I can't think of another game where the visitor fan base had as solid of a turnout as Tennessee had Saturday night. Some games that I think about, Ethan, when BYU came last year, you know, they're such a national program because they've got the church affiliation. It was a big attendance, you know, there for that game. A game that's kind of obscure, and people will probably kind of look kind of funny whenever I say this. When Tulsa came in 2008, because of the proximity to Tulsa, I remember looking over in the east stands, and it was just this big, giant L blue or Blue L. And, you know, that team was undefeated at that point. They were ranked. They were talking about them potentially getting into a BCS game. And Arkansas won that game. But that was a huge turnout, too. But I'll tell you, whenever you've got a different color than the red and the white, and having the stripe out the other day certainly helped because it you know, really, I guess, juxtaposed the orange against it. There were a ton of people there from Tennessee. And, you know, I was talking to Clay about it during the game. And, you know, Clay said that, you know, this is there are a lot of Tennessee fans in Oklahoma. There's a lot of Tennessee fans in Kansas and Texas. And this might be the closest opportunity that they have to watch the Razorback or watch their team this year coming to Razorback Stadium to do that. And so I say all of that to say it was a great atmosphere from the home team. And I wasn't so sure what it was going to be like whenever I saw all those Tennessee people there at the beginning of the game. But Arkansas, they don't always perform that well when they've got the big, big, big time atmosphere, like Sam Pittman says. They brought it on Saturday night, and you know it really stands out because there just haven't been a whole lot of big wins like that in what I call the expansion area, the expansion era of the stadium, which is 2001 to now.
For sure. And you know, a couple weeks ago after visiting Auburn and watching that environment, I said, like, I don't know how Arkansas gets to the next level of, like, environment, like, what they have to do. Saturday, they did it. Like, hats off to whoever is in charge of all the marketing and, you know, what all they do for stadium atmosphere, just all the big show that goes into that. They're all the time doing stuff. But they did it on Saturday. I mean, I was on the field for the final, like, 4 minutes of the game. And I did what you have to do, like, whenever you're in elementary school and you're doing a tornado drill and they make you just find a wall and just kind of hug it because it's going to save you in a tornado. I don't know. But I found my wall and just kind of hunkered against it because I knew that if Arkansas won, it was going
right.
to get stormed. And then also it was just kind of shaking. So I was like, I think I just want to be in a place I feel very secure right now. Because it was loud. It was really, really loud. And I think they definitely brought it on Saturday. It was from everything from the stripe out to the attendance to how into the game, it just seemed like the whole stadium was very engaged. The only thing I'd like to see better is that field paint was very, very dull. I was watching the game later on the broadcast. I was like, gotta paint the hog in the end zones a little more red.
I think they just need an extra coat of paint.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody about that this week. I think we're so used to seeing turf fields and how the paint pops on a turf field that you forget that it's a little bit harder to replicate that on grass. The other thing is that, try as you might with those big light banks, you can't replicate natural light from the sun. That has a little bit of an effect too. The stadium was shaking. It was literally shaking when Singleton scored the touchdown. And then just the amount of noise, whether it be from the fans, whether it be from the band, the music that they were piping in, they're blowing a train whistle throughout a lot of the fourth quarter. I mean, I found myself there on a couple of those plays on Tennessee with like kind of my fingers in my ear like that.
Yeah.
Because it was ear-splittingly loud. Somebody who was sitting in the press box near me said they were actually getting an alert on their Apple Watch that said, you know, you're in too noisy of an environment. You need to
yeah.
move.
It was really like I had not been on the field like that in that loud of a moment. Like I was at the end. Whenever Nico ran out of bounds, that
Say his
place,
last name.
I'm not doing it. but
he's gonna have to play better to deserve to have his last name mentioned.
Well, I mean, Nico's just easy, guys. But whenever he ran out of bounds, like, just the explosion of noise in that place whenever Arkansas realized. Like, I think that was the thing, is Arkansas's fan base realized, like, wow, Arkansas did it. Hogs didn't hog, as they say. They didn't blow it at the end. And almost like a you expected what's about to go wrong, and it didn't go wrong Saturday. And that led to an atmosphere where, you know, that's how you get all those fans on the field losing their minds.
We want to tell you about our friends over at Bentonville Glass. They're committed, professional, and versatile, and they've been serving their community since 1971. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville, or online at bentonvilleglass.com. We talked about Arkansas's offense not being very efficient. The defense is playing as efficient as almost anyone in the SEC right now.
Yeah, it's funny because you look at their like stats as far as points allowed per game, yards allowed, all this stuff. You would think that it's a pretty like average defense or even below average looking at stats, but they're just such a bend but don't break defense.
They don't allow points.
They made Tennessee like have to settle for the short gains for so much of Saturday. It's like daring them almost to try and take a shot. They played great. Whatever the I guess culture is inside that unit right now on that side of the ball, it's really strong. Like those guys genuinely like each other, and you can tell. I thought that Saturday, the way that they applied pressure on Nico was that was the most encouraging game from a pass rush standpoint Arkansas's had yet, as far as it just felt like he was never fully comfortable. I know Eric Gregory had a sack and a half.
And he had the tackle at the end of the game.
Yeah, he forced him out of bounds. He ran him out of bounds. And Quincy Rhodes on that play actually really did a good job coming in there and forcing Nico to have to get flushed out the other way. Quincy Rhodes, I'm going to say it, every time I do these, Sunday night, I put together this story that's on a wholehogsports.com about the PFF grades and stats from the game that kind of were key. Quincy Rhodes always shows up on there. And I don't know, take that with a grain of salt maybe because he doesn't play a whole lot of snaps, but I feel like his impact has been there for sure this year with the defense. But all that to say, great game from a pass rush standpoint. Secondary played great. I think about Jaden Johnson's breakup on that. I think it was a third down that had Tennessee got it, they probably would have been able to run the clock a lot more and would have been way harder for Arkansas.
I've said it all year. I don't think this is a bad team. I don't think this is nearly as bad of a team as a lot of people have thought they were. Now, I would caveat that with saying that I think they've got an incredibly difficult schedule, although some of the games on their schedule look more winnable by the week. I think LSU and Missouri look a lot more winnable than maybe they did 4 or 5 weeks ago. Their problem has been that they just haven't figured out a way to close games consistently enough. We focus on the one possession stat, and I think I mentioned this a week or so ago, but they did close the game against UAB, even though it shouldn't have been that close. They did close the game against Auburn. If they don't go on that long touchdown drive there with about 3 minutes left, that's a one possession win. And so I think that those experiences against UAB and Auburn, and then obviously not being able to close the deal, the frustrations and maybe some of the lessons they learned in the two games that they have lost, I thought it helped pay off for them the other night. And we've talked about having a closer. The defense is a closer. I think they may have found something in Braylon Russell on Saturday night. 8 carries, 62 yards, 2 big runs on the last drive, converted a fourth down on the first drive. I'm guessing that after the bye week, you're gonna see a lot more of Braylon Russell.
Jaquindon Jackson isn't a guy to just dish out really flattery comments, but I remember in the preseason with Braylon Russell, he told us, he was like, I think that this guy could be an All-American by the time he's out of college. And I'm saying, Jaquindon Jackson will say things how it is. If he thinks something's bad, he is not afraid to tell you he thinks it's bad. But that stood out to me that he was willing to say that about a freshman in the preseason. And I think Braylon Russell, for him, it's just been getting those more reps. And it's finally at a point where I feel like you got to trust him to just give him more carries throughout a game. That was huge on Saturday. He had I think it was 24-yard run, then an 11-yard run.
Mm-hmm.
That set up Arkansas to go take the lead. Without those runs, they're very much – it's a different game.
And imagine being a linebacker or a safety coming up, and you've got that. I mean, what is he, 40, 45
in his last
pounds?
Run – did you see his last run? He trucked a guy at the end.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, imagine being 58 and a half minutes deep into a game, and then you got that coming downhill at you. That was the train whistle.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And it's Braylon Russell, you have to, I feel like, as a freshman in any sport, stepping into a game like that, or just any SEC game, you have to have like a level of fearlessness about you, and he definitely did on Saturday.
Efficiency ratings, Arkansas allowing 20% of all points possible to the opposing offense. And then, I've got overall efficiency ratings right now in the SEC. I'm going to remove Texas and LSU from this list because they've only played one SEC game. And so this is among teams that have played multiple SEC games. This is a combination of how well they're doing on offense, how well they're doing on defense. The only teams ahead of Arkansas are Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and Georgia. Mm-hmm. They're ahead of Alabama. They're ahead of Tennessee. They're ahead of Oklahoma. They're ahead of Missouri. You know, and I know it's early, but if that number can stay in that range, people are going to like how the season looks.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what I said. They're just bend but don't break right now. Like the all that matters, you know, as much as people will say it on the side of the ball with Arkansas's offense of like, well, I don't care if you get yards, you aren't scoring. Arkansas's defense is the reverse side of that. I think that people are getting some decent yardage against them, but they aren't scoring. Yards don't matter. And I guess they only do whenever you're trying to break records and stuff, but a record doesn't amount to a win. You know, I think that Arkansas has a defense that that really knows how to get the stop when they need to. They were so impressive on Saturday.
It's kind of like in baseball. I've changed from liking batting average to liking OPS because I think it tells a better story of a hitter's potential. I've made a conversion, I guess, in the last few years in college football or football in general, is I just quit looking at yards. Yards just – they don't tell me anything other than the fact that you can move the ball some. It's all about what you do with yards. Like I was looking at UAB before the season started. I think they were 18th nationally in total offense last year. They were 51st in scoring. There's a big, you know, when you can't punch it into the end zone, it doesn't really matter what you do with the ball. It's kind of like Anthony Christensen was talking about, or Kelly Rowlihard, I'm sorry. She was in here the other day talking about soccer. And she said, Colby Hale said, I don't care what you do between the 18-yard boxes. It's all about what you do. You convert that to football. I don't really care what you do between the 25s. Tell me what you do in the red zone. Mm-hmm. And that's gonna tell you, you know, who's the good football team. Arkansas, they got to figure it out more offensively. But defensively in the red zone, they've been very good, like we've mentioned. The efficiency, that's what matters to me. And they're a pretty efficient team defensively. If they can pick it up a little bit offensively, you got to like how the rest of this year looks.
Yep. I think that's the biggest thing from this Tennessee game, is it? You're at the halfway point of the year now. Anything can happen the second half. It's what are the Razorbacks going to do with those opportunities?
We're just scratching the surface of everything we can talk about. Arkansas, Tennessee, we got a lot more thoughts on this that we'll talk about as we get throughout the week. It's a bye week for the Razorbacks, obviously. No game this weekend. There are some sporting events, though, of note. Arkansas and Oklahoma State, for instance, they're going to play a baseball exhibition series this weekend over at Baum Walker Stadium, a couple of teams that could be competing for a national championship next year. We'll discuss that. Obviously, we'll discuss more football throughout the week. Basketball preseason practices started. So hang with us this week. Even though it's a bye week, we got plenty of things to discuss. And we hope you'll come to our website at wholehogsports.com. Read all of our coverage from Arkansas, Tennessee there. We've got lots of commentaries, analytical pieces. We haven't even gotten into what Ethan wrote about the Pro Football Focus grades. You can read his analysis there on those and much, much more. We'll be back with another podcast on Tuesday. Hope you all have a great rest of your Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow.